Galatians chapter number 6. This afternoon, with God's help, I'd like to speak to you on the theme of the labors of sowing and the reward of reaping. The labors of sowing and the reward of reaping. We find here in this part of Galatians a reminder of God's law. There are many things within the Bible that are unchangeable. Well, for one, God. He's immutable, right? And here is one law of God that is unalterable. The law of sowing and reaping. When we think about the law of sowing and reaping, it is also a great challenge and a test of our faith. The reason that is the case is because if you're like me, different parts of your life in the Christian life, you and I want things now. Well, God does not work on my time schedule. God does not work on your time schedule. God works on his own time schedule. And so we'll talk a little bit about that, but it is a test of faith. In other words, you know, some we could say, and sometimes we could think, well, I've been doing this, this, and this, and this. When is the reaping coming? Well, the next verse that we didn't look about, maybe we should have read it as well, because it says, in due season we will reap if we faint not. And so it's a test of our faith. The motivation for sowing, whether we are just starting to sow or have been sowing for many, many years, will come from some observations, I believe, that we find in our text this afternoon. And I encourage you to let the Holy Spirit of God challenge you from his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the principles that we find in your word. Thank you that your word is just as valuable today as it was hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Your power has not changed. Your plan has not changed. Your promises have not changed. And I pray that God today, you would be pleased with our participation in this part of the meeting, that we would draw closer to you as a result of everything that's happened, but also what we will be a part of in the time of teaching and preaching in your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's look at several things and get right into this outline here. Number one, we see in verse number 6 a connection of love. A connection of love. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. The connection here that we're speaking of in verse number 6 is in reference to the church and their pastor. The church and their pastor. And let's just look at a couple of terms, though, and then we'll go into this as far as we can today. Probably be able to finish it, but we'll see. First off, let's think about church for just a minute. We have many people that are new when it comes to church. We have some people that you've attended church for 50 years plus, and everything in between, or maybe even more than 50 years. And so we thank the Lord for that. But a lot of times when we come to church and we hear the term church, maybe we don't really understand exactly what does that mean. What is a church? You know, I see a building over there. Is that a church? Well, we know that not to be the case, but let's think about it. First off, the word church comes from a Greek word, which is ekklesia. Ekklesia. What does the word ekklesia mean? Many of you know this, so it's review. But there are many people here today that do not know this. And I want to help you to understand the difference between one place of meeting and another place of meeting. Notice I did not say one church and another church. Because not every church, not every place that has church on the sign is a church. Let's think about that today. That's why it's very, we ought to be very, very diligent about where we go to church. I'm talking about this place as well as any place. Okay, the word ecclesia means a called out assembly of baptized believers. Okay, let's stop right there. Baptized believers. How does someone become a believer? How does someone become a believer? David, how does someone become a believer? Put you on the spot. What's that? Right. When the sense of believer here, it's someone who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They have come to the Bible understanding that their good works are not good enough to get to heaven. So if there is a place that people assemble on Sunday, Saturday, Monday, I don't care what day of the week it is, and they teach that you are saved by good works, is that a church?
No.
No, it's not. See, that separates a lot, doesn't it? You know, because there's a lot of places in Vancouver that are meeting with the auspice of the term church, but they don't teach that salvation is by grace through faith. So they can't have born-again believers. They can't have, baptized believers. And so you don't have to be baptized to be a believer, but to be a part of the local church, we believe that you have to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And it is not only that, but it is a called out assembly of baptized believers organized to carry out the work of the Lord. What is the work of the Lord? The work of the Lord is to take the gospel around the world. The work of the Lord is to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The work of the Lord, as we've been talking about earlier in the study of Galatians, is to restore brethren that have fallen. The work of the Lord is to comfort people. The work of the Lord is to train and teach people. But it always comes back to the Word of God. So some, I'm using the terms lightly, some organization or some group today that would be standing up on a Sunday morning and teaching something that is not from the Word of God, doesn't even care if the people have a copy of the Word of God. In fact, they would just as soon you not have a Bible and not read it and not bring it to church. That's not a church. It's not a church. So we're talking about here in Galatians chapter 6, the relationship between a called out body of believers, born again, baptized believers, committed to the cause of Christ. Not a perfect people. We all need to grow in grace. Amen? Not a complete people. We will be in heaven. That's when we'll be complete. But not until then. He's still working on me. He's still working on you. Then, it's another term. So let's go, actually, quickly. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I got ahead of myself. I think this helps us to understand a little bit more about the church. Acts chapter 2. Acts 2:41. I'm not going to read the entire verse, but let's just look at some phrases. Number one, let's see the phrase, received the word. You see that in Acts 2:41? They received the word. That means that they got saved. They received the word. They received the gospel message. They put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They received the word. Let's look at the next phrase, were baptized. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. So what does that tell me? What does that tell us today? Once we receive the word, what is the next, once we get saved, what is the next act that we should be a part of? Baptism. Don't wait. I've never met a Christian who is growing in the Lord who refuses to be baptized. Do you know why that's the case? Because it's being disobedient. Does God bless disobedience? Yes or no? No. I mean, I remember when we had young children, and we have one still at home, but I remember when they were a lot younger, and, you know, they're like their dad. They have a pretty stubborn will. And when they would disobey in the home, I tell you what, it wasn't the same as when everybody was obeying. There's blessing that comes with obedience. God blesses obedience. God punishes disobedience. Or else he wouldn't be perfect, he wouldn't be holy. And so we see here, they got saved, they got baptized. Notice the next phrase, were added. Were added. What is that? That is being a member of a church. So you get saved, This is all part of the church. Following this, you get saved, you get baptized, and then thirdly, you join the church. One, two, three. That's the relationship that is happening in Galatians chapter number 6. Now I have to ask you this question. Which one of these, where are you in 1, 2, or 3? How many of you would say, Pastor Turner, I know I'm saved. I know if I died before this day is out, I know I would be in heaven. Raise your hand. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. That's number one. Okay, you may put your hand down. I don't know who did or didn't raise their hand because it's too many people to look at. So now, if you raised your hand, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand on this next one, but if you've raised your hand over here, then you should have already done this as well. And what is that? Number two, baptism. Scriptural baptism. Let's think about that for a minute. The word baptism comes from a Greek word that is baptizo, which means immerse. Okay? So, there is no way that I can use this amount of water and immerse Brother Andrew. I can get him wet, but I cannot immerse him. Immerse means to go under, right? It would take a lot of bottles of water but I would never be able to immerse Brother Andrew with this much water. So we know that the biblical mode of baptism, you look all through the New Testament, and you're never going to see or read about anybody pouring water on somebody or sprinkling water on somebody. What are you going to find? They're in a body of water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? The Ethiopian eunuch said. And he said to him, Philip said, believe and thou mayest. And he said, I believe. And they found the body of water and he baptized him. So, saved, baptized. Now, if you've been saved and been baptized, number three, if this is the church that you regularly attend, you should be a member. You should be a member. Don't miss out on the blessings of all of these. Obviously, number one is number one, get saved. When you go to heaven, when we go to heaven or we stand before God, you can't say number three before number one. Well, God, you know, I was a member at Anchor Baptist Church and I tithed even. That's not going to get you into heaven. Three comes after one, amen? Three comes after one, amen? So, you get saved. That's the most important. But don't miss out on the rest of it. Follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Join the local church that you're a part of. Now, let's look at another word, the word pastor. The word pastor. We find three Bible words for the term pastor. Okay? Number one is bishop. Bishop. That is from the word episkopos. You're going to have a lot of big words here today. What does episkopos mean? I'll tell you. It means overseer. Overseer. Now, we don't use the term bishop a whole lot today in this church. And there's reasons for that. We might talk about that in a minute. The second term we find in the Bible is the term elder. Elder. This word is presbyteros. Presbyteros, which means ruler. The first one, we're going to have a quiz on this at the end. If you don't get at least a 75 or above, you have to stay for an additional 1 hour of teaching, okay? I'm just kidding. Bishop is episkopos, which means overseer. Elder is presbyteros, which means ruler. And there's one more, and that's pastor. Pastor, which is from the word hoimen, which means shepherd. The pastor is to be all three of these. He's to be the overseer. He's to be the ruler. He's to be the under shepherd. Who's the great shepherd? Our Lord Jesus. Amen. Pastor. Pastor is to lead. That's where we find the elder. Pastor is to feed. That's where the shepherd comes in. And the pastor is to heed. Lead, feed, and heed. Heed references protection for you. There are wolves. There are wolves. There are all kinds of things that the devil would love to destroy our lives with. That's one of the responsibilities as a pastor,
as the bishop to keep an eye on things, not in a heavy-handed dictator type of relationship. But it all comes back to that term poimen, pastor, the under-shepherd. So this is the relationship that Paul is speaking about as we go back to Galatians chapter 6. This connection of love between, I'm just going to do it this way, between the church and the pastor. We're in it together. It's not the pastor and the people. I don't look at it that way. I hope you don't, because I don't. Yes, it is the pastor who's leading and overseeing and who's feeding and heeding and all the rest of it, but I tie my shoes just like you do. I need God's grace and mercy in my life just like you do. But this is what it's talking about here, this connection of love. Letter A, let's move ahead here. Letter A, from those who are taught, that would be the church. There's a connection of love from those who are taught. What are we taught? Well, we already said it, and we're not going to take the time, but in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, that talks about the Word of God. That's what we're to be taught. We're not to be taught the word of the pastor or the word of the people. We're to be taught the Word of God. And I find as I read and teach the Word of God in my own life, as I study the Word of God and read about it, not everything in the Word of God is something that I really enjoy reading. Because you know what it does? It brings conviction. It brings a challenge to me where I need to be a better believer for God's glory. So we are taught the Word of God. What does the word taught mean? The word taught is to sound towards, to instruct, to inform by word of mouth. Every time we listen to a sermon taught from the Bible, aren't you glad today that we have the ability to listen to Bible preaching anytime? It's unbelievable how easy we can listen to Bible preaching. Now, I say that with an asterisk because it's also unbelievable how easy we can be fed bad food. So use discernment when we listen to preaching. Use discernment. You let the Holy Spirit of God guide us. But I'm thankful today that every week I have an opportunity of listening to preaching. And I often will listen to preaching. And so that's what it means there to be taught. Every time we listen to a sermon taught from the Bible, we have fellowship with whoever is preaching. Think about this now. Most times we think of fellowship as a relaxed environment with a cup of coffee, a Timbit. We're getting somewhere. See, you're starting to fellowship with me now. No, fellowship is what we're doing right now around God's Word. Some people fellowship like this. I'm not trying to be unkind. I've been there. That's why I'm not going to be unkind. I can't stand here and tell you I've never fallen asleep in church because I have. But that's what fellowship is. Most times we think of the fellowship in another light. Christian fellowship primarily is God and His Word. By the way, fellowship in this verse, let's go back to Galatians, communicate, fellowship. Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Fellowship has to do with listening, not speaking. Now, this is going to sound like it's tooting my horn. I'm not. But we are encouraged to listen to the Word of God from our pastor. It's not my word. It's God's Word. Listen to God's Word on Sunday. I'm telling you, hang on every word of God. We have one preaching time on Sunday. Don't allow the enemy to put you into Monday when we're sitting here on the Lord's Day. The world gets enough of our attention. They don't need Sunday. That's a good chance for all of us to say amen. Because I'm telling you, the world is taking the Christian Sunday. The world gets us 6 days a week. Why do we have to give the world Sunday? We shouldn't be giving the world Sunday. But I need you to be here on overtime. No, I don't work Sundays. It's the Lord's day. Who owns you? Who owns you? You're a Christian. The Lord. Dear Christian, especially those of us that have kids this high, this high, this high, watching us. Stop letting the world take your Sunday. It's not your Sunday. It's not my Sunday. It's God's. Come to church. I know maybe there's burdens that we all carry. We all have a few. We talked about burden bearing. But be careful that we bring all of that in here with us, and we want to fellowship together around the Word of God. And it's almost impossible because we have so many other things that we have in between that fellowship. We cannot benefit from the Word of God unless we fellowship with the pastor during the teaching and preaching. Isn't it hard sometimes to stay with it in a preaching time because our minds are prone to wander? I could very easily stop preaching right now and in a matter of 10 seconds be talking to you about everything I have to do this week. I'm not complaining, I'm just saying I'm human, I could do it. But even as I'm standing here preaching, there is a battle going on in my head and in my heart trying to keep me from thinking about the week ahead. Because I don't want that to interfere with the fellowship that God wants us to have around His Word. And that's one thing you can pray for me about, is that God, that the world would not rob me even of the preaching and teaching of His Word. It's amazing how quickly we can be distracted. Each person in the congregation has the personal responsibility to expose himself or herself to the teaching of God's Word. This takes concentration. I'll tell you what doesn't take concentration: watching a football game. I love watching football games. But there's not really a whole lot to concentrate on. You know? Watching Jeopardy. Now, I kind of concentrate on that one a little bit because I try to get a few answers right here and there. Isn't it amazing? We can be in front of a television or in front of a computer, and as soon as we turn all of that off and it's time to pray, we're sleepy. How does that happen? We come to church, and I know that I'm not a computer screen and I'm not a movie, but we come to church and you know, we could be fine. 30 minutes after the service is over, we're all of a sudden rejuvenated. We're wide awake. I guess because we got a nice rest during church. You think I'm not being unkind? I hope I'm not. I'm not trying to be. I want to fellowship with you. Seriously. Way more than I want to share a coffee with you, I want to fellowship with you around God's Word. I'm all for the coffee, the donut, and all of that. Well, maybe not the donut, but the coffee. Skip the donut, the tea, whatever. I'm for that too. We may not have the ability to understand everything that we hear from God's Word, but we have the responsibility to attempt to understand at our level of spiritual maturity. You don't have to understand God's Word like somebody that's been saved 30 years longer than you. It's okay. Take it in as you understand it today. Tomorrow, grow a little bit more. The next day, grow a little bit more. And just let it become a wonderful journey with God and His Word. To fail to understand because we do not concentrate is another matter. I like this thought. I found this thought. Many people gather wool while their pastor teaches on a subject they think is not relevant to them. You know what that's saying? It means they're thinking about anything other than the message. It could be gathering wool. It could be whatever. I don't think many of us gather wool. That must have been a really old quote. But here's the thing. Then they come to a crisis, and the very thing they missed is what they need. And that is very difficult to learn that lesson in the crisis. It is not about Pastor Turner, my friend. Please don't think that is what I'm saying. It is about the teaching and preaching of this book that all of us need. So we see letter A, that it is from those who are taught. Letter B, it is to those who teach. Notice the word communicate. The word communicate means to become a sharer, to be made a partner. To become a sharer, to be made a partner. What is this saying? The church congregation is to communicate, or we could say share, with those who teach. I believe, personally, there are two ways to show this. Quickly, turn with me in your Bible to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Communicate, to become a sharer, to be made a partner. Philippians 4:16, the Apostle Paul writes to the Christians, to the believers there in Philippi, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift." I don't desire what you're actually sending me. I'm not after that. But it's the principle. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And then I'll read this verse to you in Hebrews 13:16. The Bible says, But to do good and to communicate, forget not. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. I believe that the communication is in two ways. It is in verbal communication and it is in giving. Not that I desire the gift, but that I desire fruit that may abound to your account. The responsibility of the hearer, the responsibility of the listener, to communicate, is to communicate to the pastor in verbal communication and in giving. So number one, we have the connection of love. And by the way, let me just say this, that Anchor Baptist Church has given our family so much all these years. This is not a matter of complaining. This is a matter of just teaching the Word of God and helping us understand. But we are grateful and more than grateful for what this church does for us and what many of you show expressions of love. Just a little here, a little there, a big thing here, a big thing there. I'm not looking for more of that. It is not that I desire a gift, but that I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I want to say thank you so much for taking care of our family. Number two, verse 7. Let's go back to our text. We see, number one, the connection of love. The law of sowing and reaping, the connection of love. Number two, we see the confines of a law. The confines of a law. The law of sowing and reaping cannot be altered. We know that, right? It cannot be altered. Letter A, we see to consider the seed. Consider the seed. When we think of the seed, then we will be able to determine what? The harvest, the fruit, I heard. Correct. Until we know the seed, we have no idea what's coming, right? So we consider the seed. Romans chapter number 2, verses 6 through 9. Quickly, Romans 2. The Bible says there, I'll read it. It says, "Who will render to every man according to his deeds." It's the law of sowing and reaping. "Who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil." Here's the law of sowing and reaping right here too. "To the Jew first, and also of the Gentile." We must consider the seed. Proverbs 11 and verse 18, the Bible says, "The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness..." Of this, "to him that soweth righteousness." What are you sowing? What seed are we putting in the ground? careful what you're sowing. It will bring a harvest. But to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Again, God blesses what? Still and will always be the very best way to show that we believe. Obedience. So letter A, we consider the seed. Quickly, letter B, we consider the harvest. Consider the harvest. First off, when we think of the harvest, number one, it is later in time. It is later in time. The enemy, Satan, is so diligent about convincing us that we have the ability to pull one over on God. You know what I mean by pull one over? To give us the idea that we can live a certain way and God doesn't even know it. To pull one over on God means to fool God. I think most of us understand foolish that is to think that. But you know what? I find in my life, I have at times, that I'm sure I've lived that way. That I can just live a certain way, God's going to forget that I'm doing this, and it's going to be just fine. No, it can never happen. Consider the harvest. It's always later in time. Here's what we want. We want to live for so many years. And again, we just talked about it, restoring the brethren, and we want to practice that biblically. But we want to live a certain way, and then all of a sudden get right with God and realize and hope that nothing happens. Now, God forgives. Praise the Lord. But this is an unalterable principle. You sow, you reap. And when you sow a seed of unrighteousness, you can't pray for that seed to fail. It's not going to fail. Somewhere there's going to be a fruit of unrighteousness. Just because we seemingly got away with it does not mean the harvest for my sin has been canceled. I heard someone say this a few years ago. We want to sow our wild oats and pray for a crop failure. We want to sow our wild oats. Have you ever heard that statement? It's kind of said to young people. Sow your wild oats. Just go sow your wild oats when you're young. But you know what? We cannot expect to sow wild oats and then hope the crop will fail. Because wild oats is going to bring wild oats. As we translate that into the Christian life, consequences follow. I've also heard this through the years, and I'm thankful for men and women that have taught and preached that I've been sitting in the chair. They've said, you can choose your sin, but you cannot choose your consequences. You're choosing the seed, but you have no idea what the harvest is going to be like. Consider the seed, number one. Letter A, letter B, consider the harvest. It's later in time. Speaking of time, listen to this passage, please, from the book of Haggai. Chapter 1, verse 4. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And here it is. Here's the kicker. He that earneth wages to be put into a bag with holes. It's later in time. And secondly, it's greater in proportion. It's greater in proportion. Now, let's turn this around, because Galatians 6:7 is not just negative. is it? It's not just talking about sowing to the flesh. We can also sow to the Spirit. We can also plant a crop of good works and righteousness, as we read in Proverbs chapter 11, and we have that sure reward. We have the blessings of God as we sow to the work of God, and it always comes greater in proportion. Keep investing in the things of God. Keep sowing to the right things. Keep sowing to the Word of God. Keep doing what God wants us to do, and realize He's keeping track of it all. The accounts will be balanced. Number one, we see the connection of love. Number two, we see the confines of a law. But number three, lastly, in verse 8, we see the conclusion of a lesson. The conclusion of a lesson. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Letter A. Turn with me quickly to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. Thank you for listening. Give God the glory for it. Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23. Letter A, sowing to the flesh produces corruption. It's right, that's right what the verse tells us, doesn't it? Numbers 32, 23. Would you read this verse with me, please?
If you found it, Numbers 32, 23. Ready? Begin. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. Sowing to the flesh produces corruption. Number one, personally. Personally, in your life, in my life. We find that in Romans. I won't turn to it, but if you want to jot this down, Romans chapter 6, verse 13. So to sow to the flesh is going to affect me personally. But secondly, turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. Not only does it affect me personally, but affects us corporately. And I use that term not in the sense of that we're a business, because we're not. We're a church. But it affects the church. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 19. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. Notice what comes. Bondage. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. Sowing produces corruption. Sowing to the flesh. I'm thankful that the verse doesn't stop with that statement. I'm thankful that it concludes with the last statement. Sowing to the Spirit produces life. Really, as we go out of here in a few moments, this is what we want to have in the forefront of our vision. Sowing to the Spirit. Sowing to the Spirit. Sowing. We want to eliminate the sowing to the flesh. It's hard to do. It's hard to do because the flesh is so strong. But not sowing to the flesh, sowing to the Spirit. That's our goal. Because it brings life. Number one, it brings life in our witness. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous
is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous. Sowing to the Spirit produces life, number two, in our giving. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. Let's turn over there quickly, please. Thank you for your attention to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. Corinthians 9, verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give for God, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Notice, shall reap also bountifully. Sowing to the Spirit produces life in our witness for Christ. Produces life in our giving for and to Christ. We engage in sowing and reaping because of a bond of love for Christ. We started the whole day, remember, for the love of Christ. Pushes us. Pulls us. Push and pull. I'm so thankful that I don't initiate that. He does. He loved me first. He loved you first. We engage in sowing and reaping because of a bond of love for Christ and His people. Because of the laws of harvest. We base our faithfulness on the lesson that pleasing the flesh brings destruction. But pleasing the Lord brings eternal reward. Remember, we said earlier the church, we said first part of it was people had to be saved to be in the church, right? Had you raise your hand? Maybe you did not raise your hand because you're not saved. God forbid you drive home tonight and you're in a car accident. It could happen. We don't know. Would you be in heaven if you die? Or would you be in hell? So first is to be saved. If you're not saved, December 2nd, it's time to get saved. If God's Spirit is speaking to you, don't reject the Spirit of God. That's the only sin that can't be forgiven. You reject God's Spirit, you can't be forgiven. It's impossible. The Bible calls it blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Don't do that repeatedly. Secondly is get baptized. We've been working on getting a baptism schedule. I apologize. It's difficult. The two baptistries that we use, anyway, they're covered up during December. I don't understand that. I guess the Fraser River is always available. Woo, that's going to be cool. Anyway, we have people that want to follow the Lord and believers' baptism. That's good. We're working on it. But have you been baptized since you've been saved? And then number three, they were added to the church. I don't have any goal of twisting anybody's arm to be a member of Anchor Baptist Church. I don't know how you can take that out of your Bible. It's right there. Saved, baptized, added to the church. What are you sowing? What am I sowing? It's going to bring a crop. It's going to bring a harvest. It's going to be later and greater. How about we sow to the Lord and have a greater blessing whenever it's His timing? Amen. And He's keeping track.